Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. You know I'm a big fan of enjoying life while still being smart financially. That's why I love ButcherBox. I can get a variety of high-quality meat, seafood, chicken, and pork at an amazing value, all with exclusive member deals delivered to my door with free shipping always. One thing I just never wanted to cut out of my spending plan is eating good food. And with ButcherBox, I don't have to, and neither do you. Where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Yes, you heard that right. One of my favorite go-to dinners is a salmon bowl. I'm not even a huge salmon lover, but ButcherBox's wild-caught salmon is oh so good. I make a nice little marinade, saute some veggies, cook the salmon, and throw in some Weiss. And it is an amazing dinner. If you want to take less trips to the grocery store and always have prepared meat in the freezer for a lot less money, you need ButcherBox in your life. Sign up at butcherbox.com/ETM and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/ETM. Hey, I'm Shauna Compton-Game. This is Millennial Money. And today we're talking, are fees eating your 401k? With Chris Costello from Bloom.
Millennial Money with Shauna Compton-Game. It will expand your brain.
All right, Chris, I'm so excited to have you back on the podcast. Your 401k genius is always so appreciated by all of the listeners. So I think to start off the podcast, a lot of people don't really understand their 401k. They know that it's something that kind of comes along with their job. They're supposed to invest in it, but they don't really understand that they're actually paying fees in their 401k. Can you talk a little bit about, how do fees actually impact a 401k and why should we even care?
Yeah. Well, thank you, Shauna. Thanks so much for having me back on again. I always enjoy speaking with you. And obviously, it's a topic that I am extremely passionate about. I've spent basically ashamed to admit about 22 years around this space, and it's definitely something that I can talk for quite a long time. So feel free to cut me off at any point if I'm going on too long.
That just means you're an expert. 22 years means you're definitely expert status.
an expert in my own mind. My wife would remind me, be careful. Yeah. maybe it'd be helpful just to start just kind of a real like baseline, kind of how does my 401k work? And then I can transition easily into that'll kind of give me a good platform for a deeper dive into fees. And so a lot of your listeners today, I'm sure, are in a position where they're working at a company that offers a 401k. And let's also say this, 401k, we'll probably use that. You and I will probably use that term a lot today, but that's the same thing. It could also be a 403b, you know, for your listeners that might be teachers or work in a non-for-profit or work in a hospital. So instead of a 401k, it's called a 403b. If you're a government worker, you might have a TSP. Those are kind of the three main we'll call employer-sponsored retirement accounts. So as we use the term 401k today, that can also mean 403b or TSP. They work exactly the same. And effectively what they are, it's a way in which your company provides the ability to their employers to be able to, to the employees to be able to take some of their money out of their paycheck and defer it, specifically in this case, for retirement. So you make a conscious decision generally to, you know, I'm going to take a little bit of money out of my paycheck today to put into this account that will grow over time and will be there when I need to retire and I need to supplement my income. Because I think most people know intuitively that Social Security is not going to provide anywhere near enough income, assuming it's still solvent at that time, for people. Most people aren't going to win the lottery. Most people aren't going to inherit a bunch of money. Most people don't have a business to sell for millions of dollars. So for most Americans, it's this retirement savings account that will really dictate whether or not they could ever stop working. And stopping working means different things to different people. Sometimes it's just knowing that you're in a position that you could stop working at any point. It doesn't mean you will. I remember before Bloom, we used to work with clients. Our focus was very narrowly on people that were making the transition, about to make the transition from work life into retirement. And a lot of times people who were still working that could have easily financially afforded, you know, could have afforded to retire. But just like that peace of mind of knowing, we used to call it like the two strike rule. And if they ever had like two bad days at work in a row, they know that they could walk in and resign at any time, and they had the, you know, the financial assets set aside to make a go of it.
And you have options, right? It gives you options down the line of what you want to do.
That is a great way of saying it. Having choice is so important, and you know, I talk a lot about this when I talk to young people about debt. You know, debt, the biggest thing that debt does is it ruins choice. It takes choice away. You have to do certain things, work certain places, because you have this debt. The same thing can be said for financial independence. And that can mean different things to different people. Some people will continue working, like I used to see my existing clients do. Other people might want to, when they reach financial independence, go do something that feeds their soul and not their pocketbook. And having the ability to be able to do that is what I think this is all about. You know, we talk a lot about at Bloom that we're fixing people's 401ks. Yes, that's the actual act that we're doing. We're helping, we're optimizing their 401k. But really what we're doing is we're putting people in a position so that they might actually be able to stop working sooner and have that choice maybe a couple years sooner than had it not been for Bloom. So back to the 401k, you've chosen to defer some money out of your paycheck. It goes into this account. It comes out pre-tax, which is a benefit. So effectively there, it basically means there's less money for the IRS to tax you on if you take some of that and put it into the 401k. Once it goes into the account, there's actually a fairly decent misperception about how these things work. There's a segment of the population that thinks that all I need to do is decide how much of my money to put into the 401k, and then my employer basically takes it from there. And you and I both know that is definitely not the case.
That's not what you want to happen.
Yes, your employer is not managing your 401k or your 403b for you. You still have to go in and tell the institution, whether it's Fidelity or Vanguard or whoever is holding your company's 401k, you have to give them instructions on where to direct that money. And obviously, that is a very, very important decision and task to do. And you know, one of the things we talk about at Bloom all the time is that wealthy people, when they're faced with that type of decision, they get to march in the door of their professional financial advisor. You know, what I used to do before Bloom, my clients that were still working, I had eyes on every single one of their 401ks at their employer, and I would help them manage the investment, pick the investment options for them. But if you don't have a lot of money and you don't have access to a financial advisor, that's why so many people are having to DIY this. Another reason we'll talk about later why we think Bloom is doing very important work. And so you then pick these options inside of your 401k. You tell the institution where I want my savings. I want it to invest here or there, how much in stocks versus bonds, diversification, things of that nature. We'll talk about fees in just a second. And then that money, when it's inside the 401k, over time should grow. Obviously, it's a purpose of investing. It's a purpose of, you know, the reason we take some risk in investing money is we're expecting a return on that. And so, you know, the contributions you're putting to this plus the growth of the markets over time, you know, we hope at some point grows to be a significant enough amount that allows us to have that choice and have that ability maybe to stop working and start to live off of those reserves. And so I think the purpose that you wanted to talk more in depth about is fees. And yes. Sadly, the fees in these accounts, it's one of the most opaque things, I think, in our life in terms of the cost of something. You know, we live our lives and we as consumers are extremely knowledgeable about the price of things, except for, in my opinion, two areas. Number one, when you go into a doctor or an emergency room, we never have any idea what half the stuff in there costs, an x-ray costs, how much is an appendectomy. Expensive and a lot. And somehow we've just been conditioned to like tolerate that there's no, you know, ability to see these prices. And it's funny sometimes when you ask the people, the staff inside of the doctor's office or the emergency room, like what something costs, it's almost like they look at you like you've got two heads or something. Like, why would you ever, you know, ask a question like that? So certainly probably not going to ever know the answer to that. And then the other industry where I feel like this is happening is largely in financial services. And specifically today, within this employer-sponsored retirement account space, very few people, if you and I could do a quick poll of like, you know, if we got 100 of our friends into a room and we said, they said, raise your hand if you know what all the fees are inside of your 401k. My guess is that probably only 10 people out of 100 would raise their hands. And I'll also say this because I'm a guy and I can say this. All 10 of the hands raised would be men because their egos have gotten in the way. Of course I know what I'm paying. Yes. I know exactly how my 401k works, you know. And I don't mean to be disrespectful of men. I've just done this test a lot. And usually it's the men that want to act like they know what's going on. And probably half of them really don't, at least. And part of the reason is because I think that the deck has been stacked against people. It is hard to really ascertain truly what it is that you're paying inside of this account. You know, if you're good, maybe you can read the prospectus, you know, and turn to page 37 and be able to understand the legalese and understand which of the fees apply to you. And so therefore, I think the industry has made it very hard to understand what these are. But let's say we do understand. Let's say we've cracked the code and we've peeled back the layers and we can now see inside of your 401k and we can see kind of what these fees look like. Here's the other crazy thing that I think is just ludicrous that happens inside the massive 401k retirement space is that you could be working at an employer with a Fidelity 401k and your next door neighbor could work at a different company that also is using Fidelity for their 401k provider. And you could be paying 10 times the amount of fee as your next door neighbor with the same Fidelity 401k.
Wow. Because as you know, it all shocking. Yeah.
It all depends on like what has to happen is that your company, first of all, has to make a decision to even offer a 401k. I mean, there, you and I could also have another episode talking about the unfortunate fact that there's like 55 million people in America today, some people listening to this podcast right now, that get up in the morning, go to work at an employer that doesn't even offer a retirement account. And that's a whole other rant I could go on. I mean, we're talking a big segment of the population doesn't even have the ability to save in a pre-tax account like a 401k because of a decision that maybe their boss or the business owner made, which is unfortunate. And so, but back to these other folks that do have this 401k, the business owner, decision makers chosen to offer a 401k, then usually they've engaged with some type of a financial advisor or broker or plan consultant that comes in and advises that company, that business owner, on which funds to put into the lineup that the employees can pick from. They'll also advise the business owner, you know, should you use Fidelity for your 401k platform, or should you use Vanguard or Principal or, you know, John Hancock, or, you know, a myriad of the other choices out there. And that absolutely can vary wildly from plan to plan in terms of how much money the participants are paying. And does that matter? Hell yes, it matters. Because think of, this is the way I think that the people can remember kind of how fees inside your 401k work. Everybody knows how termites in your house works. Termites are these things that you really don't often see with the naked eye inside of your house, but left to run rampant, they can do massive damage to the home and ultimately, you know, effectively in the worst case scenario, you know, crumble the support structure of the home if they're not kept in check. It's the same thing that happens with these fees inside of your 401k. They're generally naked to the, you know, unvisible to the naked eye because of, you know, they've just been kind of designed that way to keep those from you. And left unchecked, they can absolutely be chewing at, eroding your retirement, not the company's money, your retirement savings is getting robbed in these fees that you may not even know about.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I mean, most people just get purely stuck on the piece that you at Bloom really help, which is, I don't even know what to pick to put in my 401k, you know, so I'm going to close my eyes and point, or I'm going to pick whatever my friend picked, or, you know, I just have no idea. So most people get stuck on that piece alone, let alone going even further to the fees. You know, we could be in a market like we're in now where, you know, we've been in a relatively up market and you're thinking, oh, my 401k must be booming, you know, but because maybe not making the right choices and maybe not understanding fees, you're left behind in years where, you know, you would hopefully be making good gains to kind of counteract if we have a down year.
When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family, and you want to do the best for them. But vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance. In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, EarnIt provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. EarnIt is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the EarnIt app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use EarnIt in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make EarnIt a part of your financial routine and join EarnIt's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about EarnIt, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download EarnIt today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the EarnIt app, type in "Talkin' Money" under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. EarnIt is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated, all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress toward your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/etm. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/etm. That's monarchmoney.com/etm for your extended 30-day free trial.
We've all spent more time with family lately. It can feel like old times, but your mind is on the future too, and what you can do to shape it. At Sandy Spring Bank, we work with clients to help them grow and protect their money with wealth management, trust services, and insurance, so they can enjoy today and ultimately pass along their wealth. We believe real banking is a conversation. Let's talk about your dreams. Visit sandyspringbank.com/wealth. Wealth and insurance products are not FDIC insured, not guaranteed, and may lose value.
Yeah. You know, I think the best way to summarize this in terms of maybe what the impact could be on this, we have a tendency, I think, to talk a lot about like And by the way, at Bloom, when folks come to Bloom, even when they're just kind of assessing the health of their 401k for free, we give them a sense of what not only their allocation looks like, but what their actual fees look like, because we have so much data now across the country on these plans. And we give somebody that assessment, and we show them what kind of what they're paying right now and how that compares to, you know, a good average out there. But it can, I mean, we've got tons of clients right now where, you know, it depends on A, how egregious the fees are inside of your 401k. It depends on, you know, is there both high fee funds inside of your 401k to pick from and some low cost index funds to pick from? So is there a big delta, a big difference between the expense ratios of these funds? You know, how much is in your account today? How long till you retire? Those are all factors that go into a calculation that we can make for people, that we show people that says, hey, if you kind of continue on at this current path of kind of getting lulled to sleep and not really knowing what the fees are, it actually could turn out to be hundreds of thousands of dollars of difference in your account balance at the very end versus, you know, if you didn't get a handle on these fees. And what we're starting to do is talk more often about, sometimes those numbers almost seem too large to even comprehend.
Yeah.
But what really matters, and what's really at stake here, is like I was talking about earlier, that kind of difference, I mean, that absolutely can make the difference between being able to stop working maybe a year or two, a couple of years sooner. And I would say in life, you know, how important is that to be able to potentially put more time between your last day at a job that you may or may not love and your last day on planet Earth? And that's what's at stake in not only what, you know, what Bloom's doing with just, you know, how we're helping people with their allocation, but trying to rid out some of these fees too. And again, every plan's different. Some plans have done a great job of minimizing and mitigating these high fee funds, but there's a lot of them out there that it literally, somebody could be paying 1.5% a year in fees. It's coming out of their money each year, and their next door neighbor could have a choice of funds that are like 0.1%, you know. Right. And you start looking at that difference over a 20 or 30 year, 35 year working time period, and the numbers get big pretty quickly.
So how would the average 401k, 403b, you know, person, how would they figure out what in the world they're paying?
Well, I'm going to try and answer this without it sounding like this is, you know, self-serving for what Bloom is doing. But I mean, as you know, Shanna, this is one of the big reasons why we started this company 4.5 years ago. As I had been in this industry long enough to see that, I'll tell you another story. I remember for many, many years, again, this is back before Bloom, when I was a financial advisor working in some of the big brokerage firms, I remember I do this little kind of social experiment every single time I get a chance. When I would meet with a prospective client that had a 401k, I would always ask them, I said, well, what are you paying inside of what are your expenses inside of your 401k right now? Not only would I get the answer from a lot of people, it's one thing to say, I don't know. Actually, a lot of people, you know what they'd tell me? They would say, oh, I'm not paying anything at all. There's no fees inside of this. And I'm just thinking, you know, I'm in Kansas City, and American Century is in my hometown, and they've got two massive buildings down on the plaza. And I'd always, you know, anytime somebody had an American Century 401k, I'm like, well, how do you think they're affording those huge buildings down there? You know, they're not a not-for-profit company here. And what was happening is the client wasn't seeing any fees in their statement. They weren't writing a check for those fees each month. They weren't doing a bill pay for those fees. And they didn't realize that the investments themselves had these internal fees that were part of the funds. Every single fund on planet Earth charges some type of an internal fee. It's just not a debit that you see. It just comes out of the value of the account. It's like these termites you don't see. And so
And I think that's an important point, right? Because especially for people who are just starting with their 401k, it's not like you end up writing a check out of your bank account at the end of the year, but it's coming out of your retirement bank account.
Correct. Here's another way I used to explain it to those people. Let's say you had $10,000 on January 1st in your account, And at the end of the year, you had $11,000. So, you know, quick math, you made $1,000 on $10,000. You know, that's about a 10% rate of return. If the investments that you used that year charged 1%, then basically what you would have had is you would have had an extra $100 in the account at the end of the year. Instead of $11,000, you would have had $11,100. But those fees were coming out of the value of your account during the course of that year, so you only saw that 10% rate of return. And again, using those examples, you're like, well, that's not that big of a deal. Well, what if you could have gotten that same 10% return, hypothetically, but you only had to pay 0.1% to get there, okay? Then you would have actually had $11,090. And again, that may not seem like a lot now, but give me 35 years and compound interest and blah, 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 and that's where those numbers get big. So, all right, let's talk about, though, how somebody might get a handle on these fees to your question. If inside their 401k, all of the options inside of there are publicly traded mutual funds that have ticker symbols that, I mean, you could literally, if they did, you could go into Yahoo Finance online and type in that ticker symbol into Yahoo Finance and work your way over to the profile page of that fund, and you can see very quickly what the expense ratio is on that. You can make yourself a little list in there, and that gets you pretty close to what you're being charged. But the problem is, oftentimes, the funds inside of these plans, they don't have readily identifiable ticker symbols that we're used to, because maybe they're an SMA type account or a collective investment trust, a CIT, inside of some of these bigger 401k plans. And so there's no really easy way to identify and see what those expense ratios are. Sometimes I think we're starting to see just a tiny bit more of transparency. Sometimes when you log into your 401k and you look at all your choices, occasionally, if you kind of scroll across the columns, you'll see, you know, kind of the performance of the fund maybe. And occasionally they'll publish that internal expense ratio in there. And so, you know, you could get a sense of the price of those there. Clearly, what we've done at Bloom, though, is we've built a service that does that for people. So we keep a database, and it grows every single day as more people come to the Bloom site, you know, tens of thousands of different data points around plans across the country, so that, you know, especially for some of the, you know, the Fortune 500 companies where we've got clients at already, you know, people can come to the Bloom site and actually see what they're paying today and potentially what those fees could drop to. And then also see firsthand kind of what that dollar amount might turn out to be, you know, by the time they retire.
That's so again, super powerful.
It is. And you know, the other thing that I'd like to talk about with fees too, is that fees are important, clearly, because we talk about, with our clients, trying to control the things that you can control. And I think when it comes to investing, in my opinion, there's really only three things that you kind of have a fighting chance of controlling. Number one, I think you kind of need to get the overall decision right about how much to have in stocks versus how much to have in bonds kind of over your working career. And as you know, Shanna, that answer changes as you get older. And there's no one right answer. You know, there's no answer that says if you're 28 years old, you must have, you know, 91% in stocks and 9% in bonds. But you and I both know you definitely shouldn't have 90% in bonds or cash if you're that age and this is retirement money. So the first thing is to kind of get right your stock to bond ratio. And those are things as human beings that we have control over. Okay, we can get that right with a little bit of help, an advisor, Bloom, a little bit of research on your own. You can get that roughly right. The second thing is we can control fees. We have a fighting chance. It may take some work if you're not using Bloom. If you're doing it on your own, it can be done if you research and you're smart about, hey, inside of my 401k, I need some large cap stock exposure. There's one fund here. I see that the expense ratio is 1.2%. There's another fund that I can use and it's 0.2%. So there's a full 1% difference in there. You can make a conscious decision to use that lower cost fund. That is something that we as human beings have the ability to control. The last thing, and this trumps everything else. If you don't get this third thing right, fees and stock to bond ratio do not matter at all. And that is, you can control your behavior. And what I mean by that is, most people, when left to their own devices, do not actually ever achieve anything close to the rate of return of the actual stock market investments. I'm sure you've seen the studies that show what the rate of return of the market has been over the last 20 or 30 years versus the average investor, the average human being. And there's that big gap there. And it's because most people on their own that don't have a financial advisor they can lean on, don't have help. When the market goes down, they get scared, they panic out. Conversely, we see this all the time. We call these water cooler funds inside of people's 401k. You'll be at the water cooler at work and your coworker says, man, I made 70% in this precious metals fund last year. And you walk back to your desk and you log into your 401k and you buy that precious metals fund, you know, after it has made 70% and right in advance of when it tanks by 33%. And it's this constant chasing of the winners and bailing out of the losers that is costing it. That is costing multiples. I hate to say it because I know the topic today is fees, but that kind of behavior is costing investors multiples of what they're losing in fees, multiple of what they might be losing by picking the wrong funds. So again, it is kind of get your allocation roughly right, mitigate fees, but most importantly, do not sell when things go down and panic, and do not chase winners. Those types of things have proven to show over and over and over why average investors seriously underperform either people with help. You hear about this, you know, things like the market's rigged. Yeah, it's rigged when you are taking action like that. You know, when things are going on sale, we talk about things going on sale. When you're selling when you should be buying, that's why you're not getting the rate of return that you should in the stock market.
Yeah, and I think, you know, behavioral finance is something that a lot of people don't really talk about. And it's a very, very real thing. You know, how you think, mm-hmm. act, and feel about money could make a big difference in your overall, you know, quote unquote wealth, you know, the goals that you're able to achieve. Just literally about the behavioral side of how do you react, you know, with, yes. your money. And that kind of leads, yes. me to my next question. You know, we've talked to you before about Bloom. I want you to kind of give the listeners a little bit more of a feel about how Bloom works. And, you know, a lot of questions I get are services like Bloom, you know, does that mean I'm giving away control of my money? Mm-hmm. How would you talk to that listener that's kind of on that fence?
Yeah. Well, so I could definitely answer that question. Let me back up a little bit and maybe kind of come into it from the why perspective. So, because I think that is very important to kind of tell the whole reason behind why, you know, myself and Kevin decided to walk away from effectively a wealth management business that we had built from zero to $500 million of assets under management. It was a wonderful business. Still exists, just not involved with it anymore. We had seen a couple of what we thought were atrocities, might be a strong word, but just massive dysfunction in financial services. Number one, the last firm that we had built, my own mom and dad didn't have enough money to qualify to get in the front door. Effectively. Now, I don't want your listeners to think I'm an a-hole. Of course, I helped them. Of course, they were clients of my firm. But had it not been my firm, my own mom and dad, you know, given the situation that they were in, no financial advisor would have spent any time helping them. And so their only option was to DIY it, to try and figure it out themselves. And then the second thing that happened was I got asked, and I'm sure you get asked this all the time too, Shanna. I got asked all the time, just living my life from my next door neighbor old college friends, current friends, people I'd meet out socially. When I found out that I was a financial advisor, they'd almost always ask me, they'd say something like, I've got this thing at work. They call it like a 401k or something. And I've got money coming out of my paycheck that's going into this account, I think. And I'm not sure if I'm supposed to be picking the investments or is my employer handling that. And, you know, I'm just wondering, you know, can you give me some help with it? And I'd say, yeah, of course I will. Just take a copy of that 401k statement and email it over to me and I'll take a look at it. And it seemed like 80 or 90% of the time, I would look at my friends, my old college friends, somebody I'd meet, whatever, their 401k statement, and it was a complete mess. There was clearly no strategy. It was like just a vomited random smattering of funds, you know, and every possible mistake, you know, from the water cooler fund that I talked about earlier to somebody that had invested in four or five different target date funds, which is not how you're supposed to use those. Or, you know, the young person, like you've heard me tell the story before about my sister who had every bit of her retirement savings sitting in a money market and she didn't even know about it. It wasn't even invested. And she missed the massive run in the market from 2009 to 2013. And she's my own sister. And, you know, just every mistake we saw. And so Kevin and I decided at one late night in January of 2013, Kevin emailed me. This is basically what started Bloom. He emailed me late at night, January 2013, said, you know, Wall Street has made a habit of running in the opposite direction of people with small accounts. Maybe we should build something and run towards them. And that literally is what started the ball rolling to build Bloom. We saw what Betterment was doing and Wealthfront and Future Advisor and some of these others. And we noticed very quickly, man, nobody is building out this type of access, this portfolio management process for people that that have these 401k accounts. You know, I mean, to be a client of Betterment or Wealthfront, they don't handle individual 401ks. You can't go take your individual 401k and sign up to be a client of those firms. You have to roll it to an IRA first, which obviously you can't do until you leave that company. And so there's like 80 or 90 million people today that have a 401k or a 403b at their employer today. And we wanted to build something to help that segment of the market, specifically the underserved segment, specifically the people that don't have millions of dollars in their account. Because we know that for a lot of average Americans, the 401k might be their biggest retirement. There might be their biggest asset, period. Mm-hmm. It might be their biggest source of wealth today. And then it's the biggest source or opportunity standing in the way or giving them the ability at some point to stop working. So we wanted to come at this problem, this lack of access to professional help, by going through the door towards these 401k accounts. And, you know, to your question about giving up control or giving up access, you probably have a more savvy audience than I would say if you looked at kind of the average cross section of middle America that have these accounts. And there's definitely going to be a number of your listeners that are totally confident in how they're managing their accounts. Like, you know, they find finance easy. They understand the difference between large cap and small cap and emerging markets and tips and things of those nature. Maybe they've even got a handle on what their fees are. But my guess is there's probably a lot of people that listen to this, Shanna, and they're trying to better themselves, but they're just not confident that they can totally do it themselves, and maybe they don't have the desire to really dig in and become an expert. And that's obviously where Bloom can come in. You don't, in terms of like giving up control, I always remind our clients that keep in mind, yes, you're giving Bloom the ability to go into your 401k and make the changes for you and rebalance it for you and adjust it for you as you get closer and, you know, as you creep towards retirement every single year. You know, we make adjustments to the allocation so that it gets a slight bit more conservative as you get closer to retirement. But that doesn't stop any of our clients at all at any point from going in and A, pulling the plug on Bloom. You pay Bloom 10 bucks a month and you can cancel it at any time. If you're not getting the value, if you're not getting 10 bucks worth of value from Bloom, you need to fire us. If we're not doing a good enough job in conveying to you what it is that Bloom is doing for you for $10 a month, you should fire us tomorrow. And I would never hide behind that. I mean, if we cannot deliver that kind of value, then you should march and vote with your wallet and cancel the service. And that's on us. That's 100% on us. We did not deliver the kind of value you were expecting in one way, shape, or form. We didn't clarify that enough. So at any point, you can cancel it. At any point, you can log in to your 401k and unwind, if you will, what Bloom is doing. Now, this gets back to what I said earlier. I'm really worried that when the market dives, and Shanna, you and I know it will at some point. We don't know when, but we absolutely know that the market's going to go down. I even put out a video recently, and I told our clients, I guarantee if you stay with Bloom long enough, you're going to see the value of the account that Bloom is managing. I guarantee you'll see it decline in value, 100%. It's not if, it's when, and how many times between now and you retire. That is the way the market has always worked. It will always work that way. And so many people, when the first time they see that thing, their account balance decline, oh my gosh, something's wrong. The market is, there's something wrong. This is the end of the world. Chicken Little is right. The sky is falling. Bloom doesn't know what they're doing, and they bail. And that's that behavior stuff I was talking about earlier. And they sell out of everything, or they stop contributing to their 401k. My gosh, who would not like to go back to 2008, 2009, when the whole world was on fire? Who would not love to go back and buy right now? Who would not love to take a time machine back with every penny you have and buy as much of everything you could in 08 and 09? And average individual investors left to their own devices weren't buying, they were selling, and they were stopping contributing to their 401k. And it's like, my gosh, I mean, in theory, if you're a millennial and you're listening to this today, you should want the market to be as shitty for as long as possible, because you're still accumulating. You're buying. I mean, this money that you're putting into your 401k, you're getting these insanely low prices if the market was down. I mean, you should get excited and amped up the next time the market takes a big dive. Now, you don't want it to be that way if you're, about to step into retirement, obviously. But for your listeners, man, they should get super excited. And if there's any room in their budget when the market goes down to increase their 401k contributions, that would be so smart to do.
Well, Chris, this has been an absolutely awesome conversation. I think we have discovered like three other podcasts we can pull out from this one podcast. So that is amazing. So tell listeners, where can they find out about Bloom, and where can they learn about, how you actually work a little bit more in depth?
Yes. Thank you. So Bloom, the first thing, Bloom is spelled with three O's. If you go to Bloom with two O's, you can shop, I think, for online cosmetics. Not bashing that, but clearly you're not going to get help with your retirement account. But if you would like just a totally free assessment of the health of your 401k, and by health, I mean your allocation and your fee structure, anybody with a 401k or a 403b for free can go to Bloom's website. If you'll take 3 or 4 minutes, if it takes you much longer than that, you can email me, chris@bloomwiththreeos.com. It should not take you longer than 3 or 4 minutes. Go through the process, get the health of your 401k analyzed, get an understanding, maybe for the first time, how your fees stack up. And then if you decide, only if you decide that you're like, I would love to outsource this, I would love it if Bloom could manage this for me, this is what we hear all the time, like, where has this been for many years? I need something like this. Then you can choose to sign up at the very end for $10 per month. But at a bare minimum, anybody listening to this that has a 401k or 403b, you owe it to yourself to take these 3 or 4 minutes, go to the site, and at least get that free assessment on your account. And then from there, the decision obviously is yours.
All right. So now we know how important fees are in your 401k, and also how important our behavior is. Just how we react to whatever is going on makes a big difference financially for us. And it may seem silly, but it is so true in almost every different aspect of wealth building that I have seen over the last 10 years. How we think, act, and feel about our money makes a huge difference. So if you're interested in having a free analysis with Bloom, be sure to head on over to the show notes. There'll be a link there that you can click on through and, get a free analysis of your 401k. You don't have to go any further than that, but at least you know what kind of shape your 401k is in. As always, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Shauna Game. And if you love this podcast, do me a favor, shout it out to your friends. Head on over to the link in the show notes and leave us a review.